I think the older that we get, the more jealous we become of those that go on in a way. Even though we don't want to leave people behind here we love. It's like the old saying, I'm prepared, but I'm not ready. I think the older we get, the more ready we become to be able to get in that place of just, like Melanie said, with no more heartache, no more pain, no more storms. And people are battling. People are suffering. I'm probably too loud now, aren't I? No. This message is titled, No Waiting. We all love no waiting, right? We love walking out back on a Saturday night and walk right in. No waiting. The reason Gail loves Village Inn Pizza, there's no waiting. You get your plate, go right to the buffet. No waiting. We don't like to wait. We don't like to wait in the waiting room at hospitals or the grocery store lines or the restaurant. We don't like to wait at a traffic light. We don't like to wait in traffic. We want to be there. And the good news is, as Christians, there is no waiting to see Jesus. I believe that it's a seamless transition when we take our last breath and enter into his glory. I believe it's a seamless transition. We're going to talk in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you'll turn with me there, we'll start there. And we're going to actually, go ahead and Brandon, turn it. We'll go ahead and start in verse 35. We're going to start in 35, then come back to the first part of the chapter. I did this for a reason. I did it for the points I want to make tonight. Paul is talking about the resurrection. He's talking to the people, Corinth about, life after death. And I think that's the biggest mystery still today. With all of our science and all of our technology and all of our knowledge, we still can't understand life after death. It's something that still is a mystery. We wonder about it. I know we all do as Christians, as non-Christians. People always wonder what really happens. Some believe this is it. And that'd be kind of pointless, wouldn't it? I mean, me and Melanie talked about this. How pointless would life be if this is all we had? Pointless. Because I don't know about you guys, but my life sometimes has some hard challenges. I don't always feel good. We have sickness comes against us. We have, like I said before, if you're married and have children, there's two big problems right there. Right? You got to work on relationship and you got to work with your kids. We have job problems, money problems. We have depression attacks us, discouragement attacks us. So many things attack us. And if this is all the life we had, which we'll read in a minute where Paul said that, if this is all we have, we're miserable. I mean, who wants to go through this journey to end up non-existent? But for us, there truly is a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. For us, there truly is something waiting on us that is far greater than our eyes have seen or our ears have heard. There's something far greater waiting for us that we just got to get through this journey to get there. That's it. But we will get there. So Paul's talking about the resurrection. He says, someone will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. So the first thing Paul is saying, people are questioning, and people asked this as a pastor before, if I'm cremated, God ain't got no body. Okay, God, I think, can give us a body. You don't need this body to make a body. As we understand as well, even if you're buried, your body don't stay intact either for eternity. And so it's not this body that matters. God gives us a new body, completely different than what we even can fathom we have now. And he's letting them know, here's the good news. Until this flesh dies, we can't have the life he has waiting on us. This flesh has got to first give way, or either if the Lord changes while we're still alive, of course. But the point is, the end of our flesh has to come before the new beginning can start. And that's what he's saying. You know, we planted our first garden this year. We're so excited. It finally rained. Thank God my rain dance worked. You should have seen me out there at 2 o'clock in the morning. No, I'm playing. But thank God it finally rained. For the first week, it kept missing my house. I thought we was under some kind of curse. I mean, it rained the exit down, the exit up. I'm like, what in the world? Why isn't it raining right here? And Melanie kept saying, take it up with God. Take it up, because I was really upset. Take it up with God. I just planted a grass seed, just planted a garden, and no rain. It's like, are you kidding me? But you know what? We bought seeds and planted in our garden, and guess what we have now? Little itsy-bitsy squashes about that big. Just tiny little yellow squashes are growing. And we've got a few little green tomatoes growing. And our green beans are coming up. No beans, just green, but this up. And I'm sitting, our little cantaloupe plants, little watermelon, all that's coming alive. And it came from a seed. And the beautiful thing is, each vegetable, as you know, has its distinctive seed and distinctive harvest. And we as his people have a distinctive inheritance waiting on us. Each one of us going to have our own new life creation in Christ. We're going to have our own new life, our own new body, our own new prize, each one of us individually. But we have to first, the flesh has to give way before that new life can come. Next scripture. Space bar. And what you sow, you do not sow that body shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. Next verse. But God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. Each one of us will have a new, recreated glorification, individualized, tailored to our specs. Each one of us will have a, people say, well, I look like I did on earth. I hope I don't, praise God, right? I want some hair, smaller nose, you know, smaller head, thinner neck. I'm not a fat person, but when I get a dress shirt, it's ridiculous what I got to get around my neck. I don't know why my neck seems to need a wide collar shirt. I'm not some creep or something, but it's just like wide. I hope I look different. And of course we'll look different. We're not going to have the bodies in the earth that we're going to have in heaven. It's going to be a whole different creation. But each one of us will have our own. Next verse. All flesh is not the same flesh. There's a kind of flesh of men, flesh of animals, another of fish, another of birds. Keep going. There are also celestial bodies, terrestrial bodies, but the glory and celestial is one. The glory of the terrestrial is another. Each thing has their own identity. There is one glory of the sun, another of the moon, another of the stars. For one star differs from another star in glory. Also differs in the earth, doesn't it? Isn't that amazing? They say there's no matching star. Is that not amazing? Billions and trillions and zillions and bazillions of stars. None of them match. They said about snowflakes. All these snowflakes in the winter, none of them match. How can God be so creative to be that different? But he is. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. The word corruption means a perishable state. It is raised incorruptible, non-perishable. When our flesh dies, we know we're in a perishable state. None of us look like we did 10 years ago. Even with magical doctors, there's still some changes. If not outside, inside. We don't look the same as we did. Look at pictures of 20 years ago, you're like, oh my gosh, where'd that person go? We can exercise, we can drink water until we can't hold no more. We can eat nothing but fruits and vegetables and be a vegan if we want. But every single body is going to age. The process of age hits everyone. Even my grandmother, who's a beautiful woman and doesn't look near her age. She doesn't look 25. Everybody processes and ages. And this is because of the flesh we're in, because of sin and the fallen state of humanity. And so our body right now is perishing. It's perishing. The outward is perishing. We may walk a little slower. Things that used to have to be sore now are sore. You know, Melanie said the other day that for the first time, she's having a little hard time seeing her phone words. I said, yeah, you're at the age. That's when it happens. You know, Melanie can see great far off. I mean, she could, Lord, she'll read, we'll be going down the road and she'll say, you know, whatever. Hoover Dam, 3 miles. Where do you see that? Up there? Where? I don't even see the sign, much less the words. Where are you reading that from? I mean, her eyes are like radar. But she's having trouble. You know why? Age process. Her healthy little eyes, all of a sudden, the process is the 100 miles. I always say turning 40 is like a car turning 100,000 miles. That's when you start needing a lot of maintenance after 40. Stuff starts breaking down a little bit here and there. Not bad, but a little bit here and there. Time you 50, 55, start having transmission slips and stuff like that. You know, stuff starts happening. But 40 is the 100,000 miles of a car. Our body is perishing, but in the new life, guess what? It won't be perishing no more. No more age. No more sickness. We will be in an altered state of eternity, and it won't be nothing like this. Our mind will be always the same. Our body always the same. Our future always the same. Because we're going to be recreated fully redeemed, fully manifested in the fullness of the glory of God that he has planned for us. And we don't see that here. Yes, the Holy Spirit lives in us as believers, but we're still in this flesh. We're still carrying around this outward carcass that has no life of its own without the Spirit of God living in us. And when this flesh, this perishable state, gives way, we are then in an unperishable, which means it never expires, it never grows bad, never grows old, never is ruined. Kind of like a McDonald's quarter pounder, it's never ruined. They did a study on that. They had left like a quarter pounder out for 10 years, it still looked the same. What does that tell you? Poison. I mean, what, they got so much stuff pumping that stuff, it's like Botox in Hollywood. I mean, that thing's laying there 10 years not perishing. Good gosh. That's going to be us. We're not going to perish. We're going to be raised incorruptible. Next scripture, Brandon. Our flesh is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, but it's raised in power. It is sown a natural body. Now look at this. It is sown in a natural body, but it's raised a spiritual body. This doesn't mean we're going to be just ghosts floating in the atmosphere with no abiding home to dwell in. But what it does mean, the natural body led to death, but the spiritual body leads to life. And no longer will our new body have any defects or effects from the fallen state of man. That's the beauty. The natural body, we carry that fallen state of man everywhere we go. This is why men and women can't get along. That's why they're so different. It truly is. This is why there's always conflict. There's conflict with our kids. There's conflict even with creation. There's conflict in the weather patterns. Everything's been affected by the fallen state of man. But in this new spiritual body, the only thing they'll be feeding us is that which comes from the glory of God, because the state of the fallen man is going to be erased and eradicated and removed forever, and we will not walk tattooed or stamped anymore with that on our lives. But all will come spiritually from God, a spiritual body. Spiritual doesn't mean we won't have a natural body, but it means it'll be a spiritually fed continually. There's a natural body, there's a spiritual body. It is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, but the last Adam, which is Jesus, became a life-giving spirit. See, we are walking around in the flesh, and the only thing that keeps us alive is the Spirit of God in us. When the breath of God removes itself, we pass away. The first man, Adam, was created with the dust of the earth, and he was breathed into, but he was breathed in with a flesh that perished and passed away. But the second man, Adam, Jesus, became a life-giving spirit. And that life will not ever be altered or interrupted or stopped. It'll go on and on and on. And we can't fathom that, because in our human mentality, we time frame things. And it's hard for us to know. People say, I'm going to get bored. What do you do forever? And it's a rim that is not like this rim. You can't compare it. It's not like you working a job for 40 years on the earth. Time in the new life is not like time in this life. It's not measured the same. Remember what God said in his word, says a thousand years as a day with the Lord? A day is as a thousand years. He's trying to let us know you can't measure time the same. We measure time in 8-hour work shifts, 12-hour work shifts, 7 days a week, 20 years of this or 40 years of that. But it doesn't wash spiritually. It doesn't compare. The last man, Adam, Jesus, became a life-giving spirit. The spirit, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and then afterward, the spiritual. So first we come through this journey. That's the first step. After this journey, then comes our new journey. Next verse. The first man was of the earth. And I'm getting to the no waiting. Just hang on. We got to lay this foundation, and we'll get to the good stuff here. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. It's a big difference. Next verse. And was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. God's giving us a promise. What he's saying is, so as you have been born and walked around in your flesh, you shall bear the image of me in your new life. As sure as you walk this earth, you'll walk the rim of glory. As sure as you wore clothes on earth, you'll wear clothes of righteousness. As sure as you lived 40 years or 80 years in the earth, you will live with me in eternity. There's a pattern he's trying to set. Just as you've done this, I promise you, you're going to do this too and bear my image. It's a hope we have in him. Gives us great encouragement to walk this journey. I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. That's why we must be changed. That's why flesh and blood and our perishable state cannot enter heaven as is. But when our flesh yields up the ghost, then our new covenant truly begins in the glory. Now go to the next scripture. Now we're going to, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. That means die. Everybody's not going to die. But we shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Next verse, Brandon. Moment, twinkling of an eye. The last trump. The trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. The dead, those who have died in Christ, will be raised. Now, I've got a different take on this than a lot of people teach this. And I just want to say this. I believe that and we'll get into some scriptures here in a minute and some points I want to make on this. I believe when a child of God leaves this earth, there is no span of time of waiting. And I've got some things I'm going to prove in scripture to back this up. I don't believe that everybody's just asleep and waiting on a resurrection day, so to speak. I believe that when a saint of God leaves this earth, they have been raised from the dead. Raised from the dead to inherit that eternal life. Remember, we can't measure time. We're waiting on all the saints, millions of people, one time to experience one event. Well, scripture talks about to be asked from the Lord, or from the body to be present with the Lord. And here Paul is talking about at the last trump. Well, a trumpet always announces a message. Trumpets always precede a message. Always precede an announcement. Now, I've been with people and they've died and passed away. And guess what? The trumpet has sounded for that person. God has called them home. God is not going to leave someone in limbo until a certain time. What sense does that even make? We are in this earth and we're born of flesh and blood, but our spirit lives on. Our spirit doesn't die. Our spirit doesn't go in some limbo. Our spirit carries on to the destiny God had planned for it to go to. We'll get into that in just a minute. This corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Really think about that. Every one of us in this room right now, in the state we're in, we're mortal. None of us, unless the Lord changes us on this side of glory, none of us are immortal. We may live to be 99, 102, 110, but if Jesus doesn't change us now, we are still mortal. And there'll be a day we'll give up the ghost. But with him, he changes all that. We go from having a designated time of living to an unlimited time of living. Immortal. People strive for that. People do all this stuff to add 10 years to their lives or live to be 100. That's the one thing we fight for the most is to survive, is to live. No one naturally wants to die. They want, as long as they're healthy, I mean, you get so sick, you're ready to go on. But when you're healthy and you want to keep on living. As long as you can, you want to live. Well, with Christ, we live forevermore. We put on that immortality. We never have to worry about non-existing. So when this corruptible, this perishable, has put on incorruption or non-perishable, this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death, where is swallowed up in victory? Death swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus gave us the victory over death because of his death on the cross. His death on the cross opened up the way for every single person who placed their faith in him to escape that sentence of hell and death and to just transfer into his life. Now, next scripture. Now we're going to back up the first part of, or actually this is, yeah, Romans 6:8. If we died with Christ, we believe that we also should live with him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. If death doesn't have dominion over Christ, and Christ died for us, and we say we died with Christ, then that means death has no more dominion over us. Because we're in him, and now he's in us. We just read that verse. If we believe we die with him, we also shall live with him. And he conquered death for us. Next scripture. Now we're backing up to chapter 15 at verse 19. Here's what Paul says. In this life only we have hope in Christ. We are of all men the most miserable or pitiable. That's, if it's all we got, it's a miserable life. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of them who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Now, this is not talking about universal salvation, of course. Some liberal scholar try to teach that. It's not talking about that. Of course, it's talking about those who have placed their faith in Christ shall live with him. But each of its own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ at his coming. Now, first fruits signify pattern. Signifies a pattern. To have first fruits, that means there's fruits to follow. There's second fruits, there's third fruits. There's fruits to follow that. Christ set the pattern by dying and raising from the dead. And then those of us that place our faith in him shall also have that moment where we don't stay dead, but we have everlasting life. Next scripture. Therefore he says, this is Ephesians 4 and 8. Now this verse is talking about what Jesus did the 3 days he was dead in the flesh. Here's a point I want to make. Now we know Jesus was full man, full God. As a man, he suffered. He felt pain. He wept. He laughed. He experienced fear. I mean, he experienced the things that man experiences. This verse here is talking about his 3 days being absent the body. Where was he at? Now, I know Jesus was God. We know that. God in the flesh, that's what he was. But still, his flesh died, but his spirit didn't. He was active. Look what he did. When he ascended on high, he led captivity captive. And gave gifts to men. Leave it on that verse a minute. This verse is talking about Jesus going to the place of the dead called Hades. Not hell, but the place where the old saints were waiting. See, the old saints could not enter the kingdom of God until the atonement was made. The blood had to be shed for them too. All their good work, their good deed didn't save them because they were old patriarchs. So they were in this holding place, this of Hades, waiting on the atonement. And now here Jesus is, and he led the captivity captive. He took them, rescued them. Where did he take them, church? He took them with him to their abiding place. They're not soul sleeping. They're not waiting on the return. He went and got them, and he took them somewhere. If we were just in a state of sleep, they'd still be asleep too. They're not where they were. God took them out and set them free and took them to the place he prepared for them, that where he was, they there should be also. He took them out. This is point one of my proof that we're not just in limbo waiting. You know how you get on the internet and your little thing spins? Some Christians teach that's where saints are. Waiting, waiting to the trumpet, waiting to waiting, wait. No, we're not in some limbo place. He went and got Abraham and Isaac and David and Jacob and Moses. He went and got them, said, boys, the price has been paid. Come on with me, I'm taking you home. He didn't take them to a staging place or a holding place. Now, yes, they were an original holding place, and some people teach that that's where we are. Well, we're not there. The atonement's been made. The blood's been shed. The only reason they were in a holding place is because remission of sins had not been granted. The blood of the Lamb had not been slain. But man, Jesus went and got his saints and says, follow me. I'm a sounding the trumpet. Your day has come. Glory to God. Go to the next scripture. Now this he ascended. What does it mean that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? Now, as a verse I did not include, I think it's in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, 19, where it also talks about what he did in 3 days, that he went to the pit of the earth and he ministered to the spirits. But here's what he was doing. This has been mistaught a lot. He was not giving those folks a chance for salvation. They made their choice on the earth like we all do. He was not there to save them. He was ministering to those spirits. And he said it was spirits. He didn't say it was people. He said it was spirits. To those demons or fallen angels. He was declaring the message that I have fulfilled what I said I was going to do. And you are here and you are sealed now by what I have done at Calvary. He was declaring he was finished and that he was Lord and God. That's what he was doing. Those 3 days, Jesus was active. Which tells me this. I know, James, look, we ain't God. No, we're not. But he was the first fruits of them that died. First fruits signifies a pattern. Those 3 days, it was the man Jesus that was slain. It was the man Jesus that was crucified. It was the man Jesus that was whipped 39 times and hung on a cross. It was the man Jesus that was our Lamb, because the law had to be fulfilled by humanity in order to see heaven, and we couldn't fulfill it. So Christ fulfilled it for us. And if Jesus died but yet was active after death, that tells me that when my body is gone, I'm still alive and I'm active and I'm somewhere doing something. That's what that tells me. And then 3 days later, he come back, resurrected, of course, walked for, you know, those 40 days, seen by hundreds of people, and then ascended. But he was not, just because his flesh was in a tomb wrapped in grave clothes, his spirit was very much alive, and his spirit was in different places. He transcended time and space as we know it. I believe that the glory of God is now, and this gives us hope not to fear when death comes knocking. It gives us hope that when sickness takes our body, that we can let go, because we know we're not going to be alone. We know that we're going to immediately be glorified. We're going to immediately be resurrected out of the state we're in. I mean, it doesn't make any sense that people die and go to somewhere else for a while and then go somewhere else for a while. It makes sense to say, you know what? I'm on this earth. I'm born this flesh. I'm walking this journey. But when my time comes, I'm now in the spiritual realm of God forever and ever, raised in his power, raised in his glory forever and ever. I'm raised in that. I'm not away from God. I'm not hoping. I'm not waiting. I'm not at some gate hoping I get in. I'm not just unconscious, not aware until, once again, we can't measure time like we do here. I believe every person we've lost that we love, that we know, have faith in the Lord, that they have been resurrected from their death. They're no longer perishable. They're already imperishable. They're no longer mortal. They're already immoral. They are already have conquered everything, death, hell, and the grave, and they've conquered it. And they've arrived, and they're there. And yes, we will be reunited, and yes, we will see them, and yes, all the saints of God will be together at one point. And I do believe that, I do believe that there's going to be a generation that doesn't see the grave. A generation is going to be changed like Enoch was and like Elijah was, walking along in the chariot of God and the breath of God, pulling them up. And you know, the word rapture, which is not actually in the Bible, but it's a Greek word. It comes from the meaning of being snatched or seized. And so that's what that rapture comes from, that God seizes us, that God snatches us, that God grabs us, that God gets us. That's what that means. And I do believe, and I hope I'm there. I don't want to have to put my family through any kind of grief. I hope that we just are walking along one day and the glory of God just changes us. And I hope that my resurrection happens while I'm still here. That'd be wonderful. Just to walk into a Twilight Zone episode, you know, walking along and wow, here I am. There was a Twilight Zone episode that I like where a little girl got lost in a wall. That was a creepy one, actually. But she got lost in a wall. Her dad could hear her voice in the bedroom, "Daddy, Daddy, hey, where are you?" And somehow she'd went through a portal through the wall. And he was trying to reach in and grab her, but she was like way off, but yet in slow motion, and the movement was different. And he finally went in and couldn't figure, said, "Look," and the guy on the outside said, it's closing, get her out, hurry, the hole's closing." And I thought how spiritual that is. That's a whole dimension that they couldn't see, but it was just as real. And this rim of heaven, this rim of glory is so real. And people like, you know, my grandpa who's been gone for several years now, I think about, he's not just somewhere in limbo waiting on God to do something. God's already done something. Do you understand that? His trumpet sounded and he says, "Rise, rise and take what is yours because you have crossed the Jordan River." There is no doubt about that. No doubt when we read what Scripture says. So don't let folks say, "Well, yeah, that." I mean, I've heard teaching on that and funeral service about that. My God, my soul is alive and it's well, and my soul part cannot die. That is the breath of God he gave me. When you say your soul can die, you're saying the breath of God can die. It can't die. He breathed this life into me. And because my flesh gives way, that breath of God is still very alive. And that breath of God goes to inherit what God promised for me to inherit. There's no waiting, church. No waiting. I believe it's an instant, seamless transition into glory. I believe it's almost, I mean, it's like a dream. I mean, you don't usually remember when a dream starts. You know, you go down, you go to bed, you're laying there, and then you're asleep, and you're dreaming. It's not like you're constantly, okay, the dream's starting now. I mean, you're asleep. You're in this state of sleep, and all of a sudden, I had a dream last night. It was so real. You have a dream, you don't remember where you're at, what day of the week it is, what time it is. Do I have church today? Do I have work today? What day is it? You're so out of it. You're in a whole different realm, but it's just as real. I got shot in a dream one time, and it hurt. I remember waking up after I got shot. I got shot in the chest. I remember waking up, and I was too scared. I put my hand here, and I was so scared. There was actually blood on my hand. I mean, it was that real. I remember laying the covers, and I slowly looked down, and I was like, I mean, it was so real. I thought I'd been shot. That was real. I mean, that was, I mean, we've had dreams where we've eaten and, you know, we've had relationships and we've, you know, been very active in our dreams or we're doing something or going somewhere. And don't you always get woke up right when it's getting good? You never get to finish it. You get woke up right when something getting ready to peak. Why does that happen? Drives me crazy. Man, I mean, I remember one time me and Bo Derek, I'm like, "No!" Oh my gosh, almost, but no! The alarm clock goes off. You're kidding me? But it seems like no matter what you're dreaming, when it gets the highlight, you wake up. It's weird how that happens. That rim's very real. You're still laying there, but you are in a different place. Your conscience, your thoughts, your awareness. Think how much more real the kingdom of God is. And I've said this many times. This is not anything in the Bible. This is just James's thinking. That's all it is. I think many times how when we inherit our eternal life in glory, how maybe if we'll even remember this life, but if we do, will it be like a dream? Will that be the dream? We'll look back and say, man, you know, I dreamed I was a pastor. I dreamed I was married and dreamed I had these kids. And will it be like almost a flash or something, like a dream? And all of a sudden we'll be like, I've always been here. This is where I've always really been. I don't know. It's just weird thinking how I think. But the point is, there ain't no waiting. And that's the good news. Now, why am I sharing this message? Because I think we need hope in our generation of darkness to realize that. We need hope, church. We need joy. We need to encourage one another with these words of encouragement. That you know what? It's okay. You know, I remember I had a very personal moment with Brother Michael Henderson before he passed away. And I went to his house. I was there the night he died, but I wasn't there when he passed away. But I was there the day of. Bill had called me and said, it's getting pretty close. It looks like if you need, you probably need to come see him when you can, you know, pretty soon if you want to see him again. And me and Melanie went by there, went in the living room, had a big hospital bed in his living room. And I went, and Carolyn and them kind of went on. It just was me and him sitting there. He couldn't even talk at this point. He was so sick with cancer, couldn't even talk. His eyes were, you know, misty, talking to me, and I'm holding his hand, and I'm talking to him. And I remember looking at him, and it just kind of came out of my spirit. I'm not a doomed person. Y'all call me to pray for you, I'm going to pray for you. Don't think I'm going to come to the hospital and say, oh, just, you know, go on. I'm going to pray for what you want. But I'm sitting there holding his hand, and I just felt it in my spirit rise up. And I said, Brother Henderson, I said, it's okay to go home. You've done your work. It's time. It's okay to go home. And he began to cry. I remember seeing tears come down his face. It was about a couple hours later he passed away. He was gone. And I know in that moment that he was not alone when that last breath came. And there is no doubt right now he is in a glorified, resurrected, living state. He is not waiting for his living state. He is not waiting for his glorification. He's not waiting for his new body. I believe he is there, experienced that, and has it. I mean, God, I've seen too many people that have in their end, I've seen folks reach out. I've seen folks look over here. I've seen folks begin to smile, and we're looking around like, what are they looking at? And I know everybody says, well, it's the medication. Look, there's people that do that stuff not medicated. I really believe that they are seeing something that we can't see. They say dogs can do that. Animals can do that. You have a dog in your house, he'll start looking all of a sudden at a wall. It kind of creeps you out, don't it? What is he looking at? He just looks and just walks over there and looks. Like he's seeing something. They say animals can sense a spiritual realm, sense things that we can't see. And so I believe the saints of God can... You know, LeJune told Vance the same thing the night he died. He said, baby, I've never told you before. It's hard for me. I love you, but I'm tired of you suffering. He said, it's okay. Go home, baby. I'm okay. I'll make it. I'm prepared for this. I'll be all right. He died the same night, too. She said it was in a few minutes after he said that. A few minutes after she said it, he let go. You know, I think once we get a glimpse of that glory, man, we don't want to come back. We don't want to let that go. I want to encourage you, those that have gone on, they are far better than we are. They're in a far better state and a far better place. And that's where all of our hope is. The Christian faith is probably the only faith, I guess, that really teaches this kingdom message. That there is a life after death. I'm not talking about, and others teach it in different ways, reincarnation and the 32 virgins and all that. But I'm talking about the way we teach it, to where there is a seamless transition of going into the breath of God and becoming all. I'll tell you another proof of this. Just now hit me. Thank you, Lord, for this. Remember when Stephen was being stoned? Stephen, the first martyr, was being stoned for his faith. The Bible says that the heavens opened and he saw Jesus. And Jesus called out to him. He saw him. Now, if there's a separation state, if there's a state that we're waiting on something, why would the heavens open and why would he hear the voice of God calling him? He saw that. It was an instant thing, and he gave Stephen peace to know where he was going. I hear you, Lord, and I see you, and I'm coming. It's a beautiful thing, church. This life is hard, and we have many challenges, and we don't like a lot of our seasons. And life doesn't seem very fair. It doesn't seem fair sometimes. I realize that. It seems like a lot of bad things happen to a lot of good people. It doesn't seem fair. But God's been way more than fair. For he's given us a promise that is so, church, all of our inheritance is in such a near future of our lives. No matter what age we are, if you're a five-year-old kid, it's still in the very near future when you talk about eternity. And so we go through this journey the best we can. We love God. We serve God. We serve others. We love others. And we try to tell them about the good news of the gospel. That because of this one man that lived and died and rose again, the Bible actually says that if there is no resurrection and we believe that Jesus did not raise from the dead, then our faith is in vain and we are still yet in our sins. But he did raise from the dead. And I'm so thankful that he gave me a chance to live forever. We are alive forevermore. We're not in a graveyard laying somewhere. We're not in a box full of ashes. That's not who we are at all. We have received a new life completely. And I'm so thankful for that. That's our hope. That's our anchor. So we can weather a lot of storms knowing how it's going to end up for us. And I do believe church will know those that's going on. The Bible's clear that I believe that as well. You know, the relationship part is up for debate. There's a lot of things about that where Jesus talks about it. It won't maybe the same relationship that we know here on earth, but it'll be relationship that we'll know each other. But see, I don't worry about all that. I just know that I'm not going to be happy. And I'm going to be filled with the glory of God. I know that it's going to be a place of absolute bliss. No pain. Revelation says no tears, no pain, no sorrow. I'll wipe all your tears away. I see a new Jerusalem coming down. You know how we inherit this everlasting life? We place our faith in Jesus. Lord, my faith is in you. I place my faith in you. So many people are searching for that truth. What really happens? What if Jesus doesn't do this? What if there is no heaven? What if there is no resurrection for me? What if there is no hell? What if there is? And people are searching for such truth and so many answers. Aren't you glad you have your answer? I've got mine, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful I'm at total peace with knowing the truth and the answer of what my life holds. And I'm thankful for that. All right, that is my message tonight. No waiting. We all love that. The food line, they go to intercom sometimes. You hear one intercom say, "Register 6 is open, no waiting." Don't we love that? We shoot right down there, don't we? We about run people over to get there. Oh, excuse me, old lady, didn't mean to knock you over. You got 2 of them, I got 25, but okay, didn't mean to knock you over. No waiting, we love that. Any comments tonight or anything, everybody, before we close out our service? Yeah, that's celebration for those that go on. We miss them. There's a void in our lives, that's for sure. No denying there's a void in our lives. But much as my grandma loved Grandpa and much as you love Gene, if you had a choice and said he can come back here or he can stay where he's at, I think y'all would say, don't bring him back here. Just let me go there. don't bring him back here. I wouldn't do that. No, there. I wouldn't want them back in this world or let them in where they're at. Mm-mm. No way. Got a few more days of labor. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. All right. Don't forget, our Vacation Bible School for our children kicks off next Wednesday. It'll be going for the next 6 Wednesdays. So tell your friends about it. If you've got families that have kids pre-K to middle school age, tell them about it. It's going to be a great Vacation Bible School. Melanie's going to love the theme. Is it a secret or can you tell it? It's going to be an oceans theme. They're going to have the hallway decorated like a big ocean coming down the hallway. So next Wednesday. So advertise that to people you work with that have kids. Tell them about it. It's going to be the next six Wednesdays. They'll have all kinds of fun things. Shirley, if you can get that on the sign at some point. I know you just changed it, and I'm so sorry. I wasn't thinking about the VBS. Thank you for the sign. It looks great. But if you can just advertise that, Vacation Bible School, starting July the, whatever that is, next the 6th at 7 p.m., and just kind of advertise that would be great. You can put on there, go have some snacks, right? Snacks, games. Okay, so snacks, songs, crafts. Just word it to where people know what's going on. But July the 6th, 7 o'clock. Yeah, so we need some volunteers that want to help out for that. 4 o'clock Sunday, a meeting, and we've only had one or two adults sign up to help out, so we need some people to do that. And I'll announce that again Sunday, of course. But they always do a great job with that, so we're excited about that. The kids will have a good time, and they'll learn. Yes, Brenda? Do we need that? Yeah, that'd be fine. Maybe get Randy to see what he would like to have, what he would like. So. Go ahead, the next six Wednesdays. That'd be great. Yeah, put it on a website. And I'll put it on Facebook and I advertise it. And, you know, all of you have Facebook. Put it on your Facebook, advertise for Vacation Bible School. Get the word out there. People are looking for stuff to do with their kids in the summertime to get rid of. I mean, to share Jesus with them. So, advertise that. All right. Marjorie, thank you for your beautiful song again. That was just beautiful. Really felt that in that song. Boy, that's our hope, isn't it? The day we see Jesus, the day we see him, his face is, man. Like the song, I can only imagine, will I dance before him? You know, what will I do? I mean, what would that day truly be like? What do the ones that we've lost, what did Gene see? What did Grandpa see? You know, what did my Grandpa Lewis see and Grandma Lewis see? And what did they see? I wonder what the first thing their eyes saw when they crossed over. I just can't, oh, how beautiful it must have been. And how beautiful. Let's stand on our feet. We'll close out. If you have an offering tonight, you can come put that in the offering plate after we pray. Lord, we thank you for this message of hope and assurance we have. We thank you, Lord, that we can glean from your word that we do have an ever-present experience with you, that when we leave this earth, Lord, that you're not going to leave us, that you're going to usher us into our new life, our new stage. And we're so thankful that we have that hope and that assurance. It gives us such peace and rest to know that. I pray that we encourage that with other people and share the good news of how you died for us, that we no longer have to face that death, but we just inherit that everlasting life. Lord, we pray for the people that aren't here tonight, our church family, those that are traveling, those that are still going out of town. Pray for travel mercies, that they will return safe. And we pray for Courtney, Lord. She has some issues today physically, and just pray that you help her, and that you bring healing to her body, God, and lift her up. Bless your people. Ordain our steps for your service this week. And we give you praise. Bless the seed that is given tonight, Lord, that you use it to honor your work and your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.